Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Do you know your family's health history going back several generations? Well, first of all, it's not just a hobby or an exercise in genealogy, but the gathering of solid medical information that could literally save your life. What you don't know could kill you. It's pretty much that simple. For example, let's say you're a woman whose mother died of breast cancer and you discover in your research that her sister died of ovarian cancer, plus their father, your grandfather, is suspected of dying of breast cancer. You suddenly see a pattern and think maybe, just maybe, you could have an inherited genetic mutation called BRCA1 or 2, which is tied to a significantly higher risk for breast or ovarian cancers, especially if you're of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. So before you pick up the phone to call the folks to get more medical history, please listen to our next guest first. He is Dr. Arthur Kaplan, PhD, professor of bioethics at New York University's Langone Medical Center. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
Thanks very much for having me.
I've got to be honest with you, I was shocked and appalled, doctor, by your comment in Forbes magazine in an article entitled "The Moral Quandary at the Center of the Personalized Genomics Revolution." You were quoted as saying, "So you test positive for breast cancer disposition," in other words, BRCA1 or 2. "So what are you going to do? The only preventative step you can take is to chop off your breasts." Very colorful and very dramatic. I have a feeling that you probably had a long talk with the author who, from that discussion, arrived at those 30 words. Is that the case?
Well, that's true. That's the culmination of an argument that says, look, for most things that you get tested for in terms of genetic testing, you're going to find risk factors.
Yes.
A risk of something. Not a diagnosis of disease, but a risk. And for many things, all you can do is change your lifestyle. You might say, lose weight, exercise more. There's not a lot we can do for most genetic conditions. And even for risks of breast cancer, total mastectomy, the removal of the breasts, while mutilating and awful and terrible, is about all that doctors have to offer to try and prevent breast cancer. So for many people, that's not an acceptable option. But the real point of my comment was, we don't have a lot we can do in the face of risk. It's useful sometimes to know the information, but before we work ourselves into a frenzy about the importance of genetic testing, let's keep in mind, for risk factors for genetic disease, say Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. or getting muscular dystrophy, or getting ALS, there's not much we can do.
Well, the interesting thing about the discussion in Forbes is twofold. First of all, with a physician-ordered test like BRCA 1 and 2 versus an over-the-counter test, genetic test, as sold mm-hmm. by a company like 23andMe, there is probably a medical, not just bioethicist involved, but also someone who can translate that risk information into actionable efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the issues that we're facing here with the so-called moral quandary at the center of the personalized genomics revolution. On one hand, someone has to take the information that you receive from a test like 23andMe and translate it. What are your thoughts
about
that?
That's right. And right now we have a lot of companies up on the web, 23andMe being one, but there are many, many, many others that are up there telling you, get a genetic test so you can develop a diet that fits your genes, which I think is silly. Get a genetic test of your child so you can tell whether they might become an athlete, which I also think is pretty silly. So we have some testing offers that are out there that are just hype. Others are saying, yeah, we'll test you, but you take the test results back to your doctor.
Well, see, that's very interesting. I mean, calling up one's physician and requesting genetic counseling based on a test that was done by obviously a for-profit company. That should be a pretty interesting conversation,
and
and in my discussions with the folks at the American College of Medical Genetics, it's a huge issue. Because
it is a huge issue. The doctor often is not prepared to interpret that test. They haven't really got much training in this emerging world of genomic and personalized medicine. Even when they do have some understanding of it, as I said earlier, some of the advice you're going to get is basically lead a healthy lifestyle. And guess what? You didn't need the genetic test to find out that losing weight or getting more exercise is the best you can do to control risk for disease. So we don't have a law that requires counseling by competent, trained people as part of testing. I think we should. And then when you have that conversation, I think you're going to find, much to your disappointment if you have a genetic test, that the advice is improve your diet, lose weight, exercise more, sleep more, things we could all do anyway.
And reduce stress and save $99 at the same time.
Yeah.
In an article of yours that I read in the Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics publication, you discuss a very, very interesting concept that relates to all of this. Most disturbingly, you said, insufficient attention has been paid to the impact of new knowledge about genetics on testing regarding reproductive behavior. We're now at a point where we're very close, eventually. Invasive tests like the amniocentesis or the CVS chorionic villus sampling for genetic problems will be eliminated in favor of testing the mother's blood. And you suggest that will probably be very controversial from a medical bioethics standpoint. Why do you say that, Doctor?
Well, I think it's going to turn out to be enormously controversial because when you detect high risks of serious problems in fetuses.
Well, let's say, for example, trisomy 21, better known as Down syndrome, or trisomy 13 or 18, yes.
The only option you really have is to end the pregnancy.
Right.
That puts genetic testing of the fetus and early screening of the fetus, which the technology allows, smack in the middle of the abortion debate.
But that's not unusual. I mean, I've interviewed a number of women who have become pregnant and told no one until they had a amniocentesis or CVS to discover what they had so they could make an informed decision to continue the pregnancy or not.
Well, today about 7% of women fall into that category. We don't do the testing amnio on many women because it's got its own risks, including causing an unwanted abortion by putting a needle in there.
I think there's a 1% right there.
So you'd probably be testing women only over 35. But with the new technology, you're going to test every pregnancy. That means more discussions of risk factors, more nervous parents, and more abortions, and therefore, and I'm not taking a stand at all about abortion, I'm just saying you're going to be smack in the middle of a much more heated debate about the morality of abortion, because genetic testing is quickly going to become standard of care for every pregnancy, not just the over 35-year-old woman.
Well, the statistical fact is now that over 90% of women who discover that they are carrying a trisomy 21, a fetus with Down syndrome, decide to terminate the pregnancy.
Yes, and I think, I would argue that that is a choice that they should have, and that may be a very responsible decision not to continue that pregnancy. But what are we going to say about the woman who says, ooh, my child looks like it's going to be a girl, and I don't want that?
Oh, well, that's unfortunately another issue for another day. Our guest has been Dr. Arthur Kaplan, who's the director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the New York University Langone Medical Center. Doctor, it's just been a pleasure having you on the show. I hope we can get together again. You're certainly very passionate and very articulate, and this is one issue, this will not go away, will it?
I suspect we'll be talking about this for many a year.
Dr. Kaplan, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Radio MD.